Our scripture reading for our meditation today is taken from the 13th chapter of St. Paul's letter to the Romans, beginning with the 11th verse. Now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. It's interesting to consider the audience to whom St. Paul was writing. We don't know a lot about the early church in Rome and how it was established, but there are some things about that day and time that we can kind of guess a little bit. Some assume that these may have been individuals who had gotten their start because of those from Rome that had been present at the great outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost in Jerusalem. It's possible that some of them had even witnessed the risen Christ and talked to him, or maybe at least known somebody that had talked to him. There probably had been some contact with at least one or more of the apostles by people in this very early congregation. We know that this early church in these first 30 or 40 years or so after Christ's ascension, the group in Rome was already starting to face various forms of persecution, being challenged for their Christian faith. And you would think if there was ever a time when somebody would be very awake in their faith and wouldn't have to worry about kind of slumbering in their faith, it would be this group in Rome. And yet, St. Paul has to write to them and say to them, as he kind of does to all of the churches in his day, to stay awake. They're in danger of falling into becoming lethargic about spiritual things. My very profession as chaplain here is to teach the Word of God and preach that Word of God here in chapel. I have the privilege and honor of getting to work in that Word of God on a day-by-day basis and trying to help people in their faith and talk to them and encourage them and so on. You could say I get paid to do this. It's my livelihood. And I still struggle with lethargy, just growing lethargic in my faith. This is a constant, timeless problem here in this fallen world for any Christian. And why is lethargy something that's just so common in the Christian church? Well, I need to look no further than my own life and heart to learn why. And I would assume these reasons I'm going to list are similar for you too. These are the five that I came up with for myself as to why this is a battle for me. Number one, living by faith and not by sight makes it very easy to really forget what's coming. Number two, living under the routine and grind of everyday life and the things we have to deal with here in life can start to kind of wear us down and make us forget things. Number three, sometimes this life is kind of fun and pretty comfortable. I think about how Jesus gave the example of the third hearer of the word in the parable of the sower and how that plant had grown up, the plant of faith, but after a while, the weeds slowly grew around it, the cares and pleasures of this world, and it didn't happen overnight, but through time it finally choked off the life of that plant. Number four, it just gets tiring trying to stay focused on spiritual matters and on the fact that heaven is our true home. And then number five, and I think this may be the one Paul is addressing the most in our text, it's easy to start to become numb with a particular sin that we fall in love with. And we start to want to kind of protect it. We can find ourselves going to confession and saying, yes, God, I'm going to admit to you that these are my sins and I want forgiveness for them, but you know, I've got this one special one that I have kind of become fond of now, and that particular one, I'm going to have a hard time giving that one up. You can have all the rest. I'll acknowledge them and ask your forgiveness for them, but this one I want to retain. St. Paul uses this imagery of someone falling asleep. Imagine somebody on a top bunk of a bunk bed who is just getting ready to take a nap. And he's holding in his hand a beautiful antique porcelain vase that's worth hundreds of thousands of dollars, a treasure. And his hand is hanging off the side of that bunk bed, and down below is a tile floor, and he's just starting to fall into slumber. What Paul is saying to us is, be careful not to drop and lose what we have in Christ. Listen to the way Martin Luther writes about this text. I'll just read a few sentences. The sleeper sees nothing around him. He's not sensitive to any of earth's realities. In the middle of them, he lies as someone who's dead, useless. Moreover, his mind is occupied not with realities, but with dreams, in which he sees only images, and he is foolish enough to think they are true. So it is in the spiritual life. The ungodly individual sleeps. He's, in a sense, dead in the sight of God. He does not recognize, is not sensitive to, the real spiritual blessings extended to him through the gospel. He regards them as valueless. And so what Paul is basically saying to us in our text is, we need to wake up from this sleep, this spiritual lethargy, and realize what we're holding. Realize the great treasure that God has placed in our hands, in our hearts. This wonderful, valueless treasure that we have in Christ. The fact that in him all of our sins are completely washed away before God. That we have a status of complete holiness before God. Peace with him, the hope of heaven, the treasures of heaven. Blessings that we could never even fathom in this world. We're holding all of that right now by faith. In this wonderful faith that we've been given. But we need to be careful because we can start to fall asleep. And our fingers can start to let go of this fantastic treasure. And so Paul is trying to shake us back to spiritual reality. You don't want to drop this. You don't want to lose it. You don't want to be one of those on Judgment Day that's kicking yourself for the fact that you had it in your hand at one time and you let it go because you started dreaming and you forgot what was real in Christ. And so Paul instructs us, put on the Lord Jesus Christ through repentance, taking a look at our lives, all the different ways that we can fall back into sin and have fallen into sin. Go back now to God through repentance, confessing your sins. In a sense, he's sending us back to our baptisms, where God dressed us with that robe of Christ's righteousness and gave us that holy, perfect status before him. He says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and now stay spiritually dressed in him through his word and sacrament. Stay ready. Stay focused on what's really important in our life. Dressed in Christ, he is your true, complete repenter. He is the one who is ready and awake. Dressed in Christ, he is your perfect readiness. He is your perfect righteousness. He is your holy status before God and your hope of heaven. So wake up, all of us. He says our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. And how true is that? Our Lord is coming back. Don't be fooled by the fact that it's taken so long to think that it's really not going to happen. And when he comes, it's going to be fantastic. And what he has to bring you when he comes is just out of this world. So stay awake. You don't want to miss this one. Amen. Please rise and join with me in a prayer from the season of Advent. Take out your hymn books, if you would, and turn to page 147. And we're going to steal a prayer from next week, but turn to the prayer number 4 on page 147, and please join me. Lord God, Heavenly Father, by your Son you have revealed to us that heaven and earth shall pass away, that our bodies shall rise again, and that we shall appear before the judgment seat. We beseech you to keep us in your word by your Holy Spirit. Establish us in the true faith, graciously defend us from sin, and preserve us in all temptations, that our hearts may not be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, but that we may ever watch and pray, and trusting fully in your grace, await with joy the glorious coming of your Son, and at last obtain eternal salvation. Through the same, your beloved Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.